Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Janine, and you're listening to Lunch with Loudon, brought to you by the coffee party Be the Media Project. Everyone should be the media. The Be the Media Project is, of course, happening underneath the umbrella Free the Elected from the Tyranny of Money and Politics, our 18-month campaign to restore votes instead of cash as the currency of this republic's democracy. So, listen, everybody. I hope... let me start like this. It is cold and rainy in the Pacific Northwest, and I'm not un-Hawaii-tized yet, so I'm shivering. And Debbie Lynn, how are you?
I'm also cold, and I so want to send this wet, cold, and rainy weather to my family that's in Colorado who's been evacuated from the wildfires there. And just want to give a big shout out to them today and let them know we're sending rain.
Excellent. Well, I'll send them all the rain I can see. And, you know, my thoughts are with you too, Debbie Lynn. I know your mom's place is in jeopardy. And like so many Americans today, whether it's tornadoes or hurricanes or now forest fire season has begun, I, of course, stand with and beside all folks who suffer natural disaster, having survived a few myself. It's traumatic, no matter how it turns out, the whole experience. So thanks. Hey, listen, I hope everybody out there caught our touch of whimsy in the show today. We have no intention to denigrate anyone, but I at least have had to turn my tactic of using humor to calm rage about the subject that we're going to get into. So In Dog We Trust is kind of, it is mocking. I am mocking the Congress. I am mocking them for the time they spend on things that do not matter and for not paying attention to things that must be handled. Debbie Lynn and I have given each other use of the civility buzzer today because we both have very strong feelings about this. So if we cross the line, the other is going to go, and that's going to mean, okay, hold your horses. You can say that in a better way. And feel free to use the buzzer on us, callers. If you're in chat, you can go, and we will notice. And I also want to point to the fact that Blog Talk Radio is having technical difficulties today. And so Debbie Lynn and I both have two phones live. We have two computers live. But both of us had challenges getting in today. So I hope callers, if you have trouble getting in but you want to speak, we'll try more than once because we certainly had to. And I wouldn't be surprised if you had to, too. So let's begin with this. Hey, Congress, you had a lot of time on your hands to reaffirm in God we trust, right? I mean, it's not even new. It's the Cold War answer to E. Pluribus Unum. But no time to keep your eye on the Patriot Act until, what, now? And really? So I guess, Debbie Lynn, I'm gonna let you open this salvo of maybe some pre-constructive conversation, ranting, or at least a statement about why this is crazy-making to you.
Yeah, well... It's really interesting to me that there's all this like big hoopla about government spying on citizens right now, that the media is all of a sudden like woken up of like, oh my God, the media is spying on everybody in America and taping our phone calls and storing our data that we're publishing on the internet. And it's kind of like, well, duh, that's been happening since they passed the Patriot Act. And so I'm kind of like going like, well, where were you when the Patriot Act was being passed, when we were like passing laws saying it was legal for them to do so? So I'm just, this is kind of like my like Yeah, it's been going on for a while, people. Hello, media, where were you?
Right, right. And I'm sort of with you. I'm with you in the sense that, of course, there are serious things to discuss. I don't want to demean the notion that this is worth talking about, because it certainly
exactly.
is. But my goodness, people, 11 years to get here, that's the thing that makes me crazy. And so it's also the thing that makes me go back to the new little poster that's next to my computer that says, the secret of change is to focus all of your energy, not on fighting the old, but on building the new. Thank you, Socrates. I so need this week. I mean, even there were two posts today prior to ours on the Join the Coffee Party Movement page. One of them was a Nation article about who is it who's data mining. And that, of course, focused more on political data mining of people seeking election or in office. And, you know, come on, people. Why do you think you get campaign requests from people who seem to think like you? This
mm-hmm.
is not a big secret, but it happens all the time. And then there was a comment by a Coffee Party founding member on one of the posts that said, you know, this concerns me, but I'm more concerned about data mining that occurs in private industry. And I agree with him totally. You know,
well,
we are known commodities to these people. And, I mean, we live in Silicon Forest, everyone. We live in a place where there are dozens of companies that merely put together data mining strategies.
Of course.
The
17 years I worked in advertising and marketing, I used Prism data. I used it. I know what it is. You know, and so, you know, hence, you know, when, you know, me being public on the internet, I never put anything on there I wouldn't see, you know, published in the newspaper, because I know people are looking at it and mining it for data about who I am and what they can sell me or market to me through politics, or now use for security purposes to save us from terrorists. Oh, my God.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. As a matter of fact, prior to my involvement in the Coffee Party, where I basically signed an oath of civility and transparency, you could not find me. You could Google me on the internet. You would not find me. I wasn't findable in a phone book. I wasn't findable in any kind of search one might conduct. And that was on purpose, because I happened to be alive, well, and conscious in the 60s. And I knew how this information would get used. But because I accepted a public position, you know, in a transparent organization, I've allowed the use of my real name, you know, and I talk about being from Oregon, Nevada, and Hawaii, you know, I feel
right.
sometimes like I ought to change my name when I'm done with this gig, because seriously, people, this is not new. Well worth discussing. Yeah.
Yeah. And why now? And you know, and the thing that I always hear, you know, I heard a number yesterday that 62% of Americans are comfortable with the level of surveillance that's going on with our privacy right now, because they think it's preventing terrorism. And I'm just like, are you crazy? Because that's totally not where my comfort
line is. It may well be. You know what I'm saying? We cited the Eric Cantor interview on CBS this morning on Monday. I was watching it. And, you know, Norah O'Donnell asked Eric Cantor, she goes, is it really worse now than it was during the Bush administration? And Eric Cantor said, I don't know. Isn't that Congress speak for no? But anyway, he said, I don't know. And she jumped him and she said, why don't you know? It's your job to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And he tried to say, well, that's the problem. And I went, I did
right.
the civility thing. Because
yep.
it's not true that all these people that are swearing they don't know, didn't know anything. They were just sworn to secrecy, and they put up with it. So, again, it's up to us. I will agree. It is up to the 99% media to make sense out of this story. What I fear is all this hoopla and drumbeat is about distraction.
Right.
It's not about this at all. It's just another opportunity to make wrong. In which case,
what is really getting covered up? And you know, why now? You know.
Isn't it creepy to always have to ask yourself when there's a big much ado about nothing, you know that there's something going on that you wish you knew about later?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Especially when the Hannity group jumps in. You know, this is very specifically about Hannity. This is me and my opinion of this guy. Because, you know, I drive around in the Southwest, right? I would drive from Vegas, see family in Phoenix, and family in Tucson. And all you can get on AM radio is Hannity. And it was mean. It was denigrating. It made me feel dirty to listen to it. I mean, even if there were facts in there, I mean, even if, I will grant that even a stop clock is right twice a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very open-minded. I just had to turn it off after a while. I could only listen for so long, and I was just like, oh. Because it's just so scripted and vile. So what's up now?
I just want to let you know, we've got a lot of people that are calling in on listening in online right now. So thank you for that. Thank you for listening. And do have a hand up. I want to note that. And we're getting some activity going on in the chat room right now. And I really want the question that I just have for everybody out there is, what level of government surveillance are you comfortable with? That's the question I want to know.
Right, and there's going to be arguments. There are going to be arguments pro and con for sure. And there, if you recall, in 2006, when the Patriot Act came up for renewal,
mm-hmm.
there was a flurry of coverage. And of course, we may have heard more about it because one of the people very against it was our Senator Ron Wyden, and he said there's too many secrets in the Patriot Act. There are secret parts of the secret parts of the secret parts.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, that's not right. You know, not that nothing should be secret, but that people would be voting on parts they'd never read because they were secret. You know? Like, oh, please.
Boy.
I know. It's a bad news. All right. So we have a couple callers. And for those of you listening online, if you've been trying to call in and getting technical difficulties from Blog Talk Radio, our apologies. And thanks for persevering and trying again. The call-in number is 646-929-2495. Gibby Lynn, I've lost track of who we should open the mic for first, so why don't you give me a hand?
Yeah, so Jack's been holding the longest, and then Bobby just raised his hand.
Excellent. So let's open Jack's line and say hello.
Hello. Okay.
Hey, Jack, you're on lunch with Loudon. What do you have to say about Patriot?
Are you calling me? Are you calling 620?
I am.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Jack Golding.
Yes.
And I got mixed feelings about this whole matter. I think...
Why don't you share a little bit from each side?
You heard of... this is one of the few books... I didn't read many books in my life. But I did read 1984 by George Orwell. And
yes.
And I think you might have read it too.
Oh, yeah. Yes. As a matter of fact, I think certain people have been using the term that, you know, even back when the Blue Sky Initiative passed, which was the Undo the Clean Air Act initiative, that, you know, people started calling it Orwellian then. You know, Orwellian speak seems to be the Patriot Act is an excellent example. You know, really,
yeah.
If I'm a patriot, I complain about nothing, you do whatever you want, and Constitution be damned, executive, judicial, congressional balancing be damned.
Yeah, well, it's a wonder to me now, looking over, hearing about the Patriot Act, that... Congress is practically unanimous. The Democrats and Republicans voting for that. I think it was maybe no more than maybe one or two was against it. For the Patriot Act. I really am concerned that, okay, you have to prove if you're going to get that the certain guy is a terrorist. I don't know what the definition of a terrorist is, but I think what's his name, Snowden, is an example of a leaker who's probably more of a traitor than a patriot. Rand Paul's idea. I mean, Ron Paul idea. And I'm not, and maybe libertarian as far as fiscal policy goes. In fact, I go more libertarian than what fiscal conservative. More fiscally conservative in certain respects than a lot of these fiscally conservative people. I believe that you should be able to go line by line by line in every darn in every darn piece of legislation that's passed. Again, you can save a lot of money on the Pentagon, for example, by closing not paying too much rubbing Z and Halliburton, those kind of politics should be examined and should be questioned, and it shouldn't be a blank check. I believe that we should go as far as with the IRS. I don't think the IRS should even bother with what's a 501c3 and a 501c4. If it's not any bit of politics mentioned in the rhetoric there, they should not allow politics and taxes and politics and religion to mix.
Well, and not just that, Jack. I think that you've made the point that I think most of us are thinking these days, which is the IRS has a responsibility to enforce the code, you know, the rules that it's charged with. And I think that I love that this whole shout out from supposedly small grassroots organizations about being profiled, which is a word I think is overused. But I think it's going to come back to haunt the big political cheaters, you know, that should not be considered 501 anything. They should be considered political organizations and therefore, you know, have normal tax status. But I checked when you said everybody vote for the Patriot Act, and I did. You're correct. In 2001, one Democrat abstained, and one Democrat, Senator Feingold of Wisconsin, this is the Senate only right now, voted against the Patriot Act in November of 2001. That's true, and I think that that's more a sign of the times than it is a sign of anyone really understanding what they were agreeing to. In 2006, however, only 89, so 10 fewer, voted. And Senator Wyden, for example, was among those who voted against it. And he's on the, is it the Foreign Intelligence Committee or is it the it's something more directly related to it's national security. But so
yeah, it's just the Intelligence Committee.
Right. And he voted against it. And Murray in Washington voted against it. Levin in Michigan voted against it. Leahy in Vermont voted against it. Jeffords, Harkin, Feingold, Byrd, Bingham, I'm sorry, and Akaka. So,
but still, the great majority, the vast majority, we have 89% voting for something that could be Orwellian in scope.
Yep. So what do we think about that, people of the United States of America?
The majority of people, I'm surprised, that a majority of people would be for sacrificing privacy over national security.
Say more about that, because I'm not sure I understood what you meant.
I think it would be okay. National security, according to maybe 56% or 54%, Donald Trump's playing on the schmuck. Donald Trump's privacy.
Oh, right.
Freedom.
So, I tell you what, we've got several other callers in queue now. Why don't you, I'm going to put you on mute, and I hope you stay with us, and I'll come back to you. Let's let them comment on the question you just raised. Thanks so much, Jack. All right, so I'm going to area code 518. Area code 518, your mic is open. Welcome to Lunch with Loudon.
Janine, Joe Pomponio, Albany, New York. I'm back.
Aloha.
Aloha to you. My son's there now. He returns to Washington State, I think, Saturday. He's supposed to be home Sunday.
So you must be wanting to weigh in on that.
Oh, for sure. As a matter of fact, I'm downstairs with the TV and my iPad trying to keep up with everything that's breaking on this. First of all, I got no chat room on my iPad. That might be the iPad. And just in passing, the Constitution, the mini ones you talked about last week, it's an app.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it for an iPhone, an iPad, or a Android. Okay? Just so people know that. Your reference with the dog in America, I saw it. I just can't remember it off the top of my head. Quite honestly, I am right behind you on that. One of the many peeves I've been having, and now I learned it. When George Bush left office and Barack Obama came in, they changed the venue, and these people are updated. It's been reported on all the networks. 1% media put it out there. Nobody listened. They don't go to the security meetings. If they go to the meetings, most of them have no clue what they're being told.
Yep.
Let me throw something else on top of that.
Okay.
The laws that we're talking about are not written by the person you elect. They're written by his staff. I'll let you get in.
Well, I just want to compliment you for bringing in this whole notion that people are beginning to admit. I'm not going to name any names because that's not the point. People in elected folks in Washington, D.C. are beginning to admit that they had no idea what they were voting for and that they had attended briefings because it's been pretty clearly disseminated the information that there have been scheduled briefings, there have been individual briefings, and there have been responses to questions, kind of briefings among all, both the House and the Senate, multiple members of each, and all people in the Senate and all people in the House have had an opportunity to attend briefings. And apparently it's kind of like being in a class where you think everybody else is smarter than you are, so you don't ask questions, because they're now admitting they had no idea what they were being told, or at least that's the story they're sticking to now. And I'm right. asking myself, if I was an elected person and I was in a briefing and I didn't know what the heck they were talking about, wouldn't I raise my hand?
You said it all. You just said it all.
I don't buy this, you know, because here's what I hear, and then I'll stop interrupting people. What I hear is, I'm sorry, I'm too busy fundraising. I'm too busy going to lobby parties, and I'm too busy flying off to foreign countries during the break to show my goodwill to this group or another group. I am too busy doing that to actually read the darn Patriot Act, or to ask questions when I don't understand, or to make my opinion known on my website. Like, I don't care about that. I'm not going to read it. Really?
Or you mean to actually, like, do my job.
Right. There you go. There you go, Debbie Lynn. Now, the media reporters, when this thing started, I was, like, amazed. We're talking about the Patriot Act. And I'm a devotee of info. I've got like three networks that I got a phone with. Ryan, can you get that? But I've got these things going. I watch programs every day. And I have commentators. They're not journalists. That, you know, I pay them. I admire. They're usually good. Okay? I believe half of what they say. Now, where I run into a problem is when people I think I should respect have no clue what they're talking about. I won't bring names into it, but I literally emailed them the Patriot Act. You can draw it up online. I think it's called Raid Law. And I emailed it to them. Are you kidding me? Why don't you know what you're talking about? And, you know, I'm meditating on this for the week. Ah, they're commentators. They aren't journalists. I learned in the eighth grade. Who, what, where, when, why, how. I also learned a journalist has to make a story that catches your eye, all right? That sells newspapers, okay? Your paper makes money. You're good at it. You get raises. Well, they're doing the same thing, but they don't know what they're talking about. I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, absolutely. Joe, I'd like to bring in our next caller. I'm going to put you on hold for a couple of minutes, but I'm going to bring you in
later.
I think we're going to have a great little conversation about this. So I'm opening the mic from area code 404.
Hey, no, this is Bobby Rodrigo.
Hey, Bobby, good to hear your voice. I bet you have an opinion.
I do. I don't really care what the politicians say. Whether they read it, they were being stupid or anything. Cause all that stuff is forgotten by our public with the talking points media that we deal with. This boils down pretty much to a very simple thing as to what happened with the Patriot Act and the NDAA and these other acts. What we're talking about here is the expansion of executive power and taking away the balance of the three branches of the government. We're talking about the legislature giving that power to the executive after being lobbied by the executive to do it in the name of national security. So, and then we're talking about the judicial saying that the legislature had the authority to do that. And that's where you get the three branches of the government signed off on this, because that's exactly what happened. Now, we're looking at a number of lawsuits that are being raised, and not one of them is going to get anywhere on the basis of why they're doing it. They're trying to say that, well, you know, they sued the DOJ, et cetera, and the NSA and the president, and they're saying that, you know, they did it too good. They did it too well. Well, I'm sorry, that's not going to work. You know, they are allowed to do it. It is the law of the land. Unfortunately, it is not constitutional in my view and in so many views. And I am not one, and I screamed as loud as Russ Feingold did about the Patriot Act when it came out. A number of people did. And it actually, the 2011 reauthorization of three vital sections of the Patriot Act, there was only 12 dissenters. So they've gone from 1 to 9 to 12, essentially. And this time they added two conservatives on the dissent, and that was Lee and Rand Paul. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that you would find Bernie Sanders and Lee and Rand Paul on the same side of an issue without even addressing the other Democrats that were involved in that. We have seen this in our history of our country, especially since 1900, instances where, well, actually, you can go back to Lincoln and the Civil War when he suspended habeas. We have seen the executive lobby the legislature and go the other way, too, looking for expansion of their own power. And 9/11 opened that door wide. And when Congress was voting on that and the Iraq War, those two things that were going on, everybody said, if you uttered a word, because, you know, here I am a veteran, and I'm screaming about the Patriot Act, and people are going, you're un-American, or you're not patriotic, and I'm looking at them and I said, excuse me, I wore the uniform. Don't talk to me about being patriotic. You've lost your mind. I said, so you could take that down the road somewhere. I'm telling you what they're doing here is they're violating the constitutional separation of the balance of government. And that is what the argument was. Well, if you didn't vote for Iraq and you didn't vote for the Patriot Act, you were considered unpatriotic and you were not going to get reelected back to your office. And as you pointed out, they spend more time worrying about that than they do about getting their job, because that's where the money comes from. So, and you look back in our history, when they expand executive power the way they're doing, bad things happen because you remove the balance. And that's what's going on here, nothing else. It is the executive successfully lobbying the legislature to expand their base, and they ran with it. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's all I see.
Well, and don't you think that the whole Patriot Act thing is like smarty pants loopholing, like you said, to get around the balance of power? Now, I want to point to the fact that in 2001 when this was passed, in 2006 when it was passed again, I guess it was modified. Our current executive branch was not in place. And so they kind of walked into this. It's
right.
Interesting to debate what they do or do not do with it. But I also think it's interesting that the conversation is, our current president said, yes, let's discuss this. And I got noise in the background here somewhere. Anyway, our current president said, let's discuss this. Let's go ahead and have the conversation that'll help us understand exactly what happened and where we're going and how we're using this information now. Now, we all know that surveillance was not new with the Patriot Act. What happened with the Patriot Act was more a function of, like you said, jumping the courts, jumping due process. It made a new set of ground rules. All you had to be was an object of the war on terror, and then all of a sudden you're something new and different. So I agree with you there totally. I, based on that, I guess what I really want to say is this. It is a focus of executive power, but that focus of executive power occurred prior to this executive. So I'm sending him a letter, and I'm saying you have a chance to walk us away from this terrible thing. The other thing that you mentioned is that, actually I'll send him a postcard because they get through. But the other thing I want to say is that there have been lots of lawsuits about the Patriot Act, but they do not come to lawsuit, but they do come to settlement. And there's one or two of them in Oregon that are pretty famous. And they have to do with using the Patriot Act as a guise to get to a lawyer's client base, because one of his clients many years before was one of the something seven, you know, this person was on the list, and the attorney here in Oregon had represented him in a divorce. Seriously. They ruined this man. They ruined his life. I think his settlement was $2 million or more and an apology. And an Oregon
you're talking about the
law.
You're talking about the lawyer here, not the man they were actually after.
Correct. It was just a guy who happened to represent this supposed terrorist, years and years before in a divorce. Oregon law enforcement started looking at what people were doing under the guise of the Patriot Act, and one by one, county sheriffs and city police chiefs, and eventually the state said, you can't do this here anymore. And I know Oregon wasn't the only state that put an end to that. So certainly it is interesting that public will can end this kind of intervention, you know, storming the office, storming your house, warrantless search, and seizure, by the way. But this one, the surveillance question, is totally different because it's really kind of an interstate commerce issue. It's a who's going to think it's their patriotic duty to let them tap into their servers. It's, you know, it's a whole different thing. And, Bobby,
well,
I'm going to – go ahead.
We're going to see if his mic is, if he's out of the wind yet. But it's also, I mean, so much of what we are putting out there is public anyway. I mean, everything that's on Facebook is public. Is the stuff that we're storing in the cloud really private information?
Right.
Well, you know,
right.
When you know, the lawsuits that you mentioned were the ones that were done correctly when it comes to this issue. The ones that they're filing now are not. They're just an attack on whether or not they can go get these mass amounts of records and stuff. I do remember those. I was happy to see it happen, and unfortunately, they didn't run with them. You know, it's part of our selective Bill of Rights arguments that we have, because the only one we really argue in this country is the second. Whereas this one, the Patriot Act, dealt with at least three,
mm-hmm.
if not four, Bill of Rights. And so you would think that that would make the argument a little bit more fervent, but it hasn't. You know, the problem, as you echoed, is when you remove due process from the process, then what's the point of having it? You know, when they expanded the FISA, they essentially, you know, we had this act from 1978, and
right.
and they already had established the secret court process. Well,
yes.
If you read the Patriot Act, it removed even the secret court process. So now, when they left a semblance of due process by having a judge overlook this, and it was just done in secret. Now,
right.
they went and changed it and removed the judge even. So I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You know, and we're doing this in the name of criminals. We're not fighting a country. We're not infiltrated. We're the Cold War's over. And these people have pea shooters. I don't care how many planes they run into a building. That's not even a weapon. It is absurd that they have sold us this bill of goods. I totally believe in the safety of our country. I totally believe in the safety of every single human being. But this is absurd what's going on. And now we're deep in the muck and mire. And, you know, the president was a constitutional law professor. He should get this. You know, there was an article that was written recently just about it, where, you know, the gentleman was talking about, you know, being on the faculty with him. And how he had his talking points to be elected, and then they disappeared, you know. And now he's talking about opening up the conversation. Well, yeah, and of course he had an economy to save and all the excuses we want to make. But I'm sorry, my problem with the Bill of Rights being attacked is that they're being attacked. I want them all to be protected as much as possible because it's about the individual, and that's why it's a beautiful situation. That's why our documents are beautiful, because it's about protecting individuals. You can't be run over like a freight train, but that's exactly what they're doing. They're just taking it
right.
and running it, and they don't care.
Well, and you probably know this, but 2 days ago, was it 2 days ago? Earlier this week is good enough. The ACLU and NYCLU filed a lawsuit against the U.S. government saying that the phone data collection surveillance project was unconstitutional, and it even transcended the permissions of the Patriot Act. And so, see, this is where I say due process can work. You know, we are a nation of laws, and indeed the ACLU and the NYACLU have an opportunity now to at least make their case. And all of us who need to connect with any organization that could possibly have standing in this conversation, you know, so that they can file a friend of the court brief and say, this is why we say no, that we agree with the plaintiff. And so I think it's important. Pardon?
I went to a drone conference a week and a half ago here in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
Put on the American Constitutional Society for Law and Policy. I'm a member of it. And they had three speakers, two law professors and a lecturer who was an expert on the policy. And I sat there in the room. Well, I spent some time commenting on it at the end of the presentation along with a few others. But I sat there and listened to a law professor tell me how the Constitution is suspended when there's a war. And I'm looking at her like, you did not just try and sell a room full of lawyers and judges that bill of goods. That's not how this works.
Right.
And that's what they're saying. And see, the problem, obviously I support what the ACLU just filed. That was the right way to do it. The problem that's going on is that they use the argument of legitimate government interest. And just like what happened with the DNA results recently, the DNA court ruling recently that Scalia joined the three ladies at, which, is that they use the legitimate government interest argument and they just expand it and they expand it and they expand it. And the problem is what we've done as a society is we let that law be created without reading it, because in the name of patriotism and trusting our government, instead of being a diligent society and stopping it in its tracks and putting people in office that will protect our individual rights. That's really what's going on here. So now we have to battle it in court and hope that the judges see through the muck and mire.
Right, right. And I think a good part of your point is, to me, the fact that there is legitimate law, there's legitimate means, mechanisms by which surveillance of suspects in what I believe should be a war on crime can be conducted, but that we're getting lazy. Now, what do you think would have happened?
So what's the point?
And I'm also going to open, after I ask this, I'm going to open Joe's mic for a minute, so I hope Joe's listening. But what do you think would have happened if this constitutional scholar, POTUS of ours, had come in and said, okay, the first thing I want to do is reverse the Patriot Act? You know, it's up to him how he uses it. So I'm very interested in what the actual application of this opportunity is, because we know there are people who will take something like this and do more than what it was intended. There are others who will be judicious. And I can make a judicious interpretation of what has come out of the Oval Office, the executive branch, about what they are doing. And I know that it varies from what was done before him, because Eric Cantor pretended he couldn't tell you. And when Eric Cantor, who knows everything about everything, cannot answer the question, is it worse now than it was during the Bush administration, then you know he's just, you know, he's pulling an Ollie North, I do not recall.
Of course he is. So he's pulling on a sword for his party. Absolutely.
Right. But,
why do we have to have, to answer your other question earlier, why do we have to have something that eliminates due process in order to do what we're doing? Why can't we just leave the process? Why does it have to be so arbitrary and selective and so one-branched? Why can't we just leave the probable cause? It was doing just
right,
fine.
Right. And I'm gonna open Joe's mic to have him join us in as part of the conversation. Oh, wait, Dan's there. I see Dan.
And he's texting me that he's got something burning.
Okay, let's all give Dan the floor. Welcome to Lunch with Loudon.
Well, thank you. I'll just take a little piece of it if that's okay. great conversation, by the way. A couple of things, I think this one is definitely worth mentioning. Right, the Patriot Act was passed originally in 2001. We were all, let's give them whatever the power they need to go get these bastards. But we were all pissed. And so exactly what Bobby said, I mean, it makes sense. We were angry. We allowed this to happen. But let's not lose sight of the fact that it has now been extended twice, and both times by wide margins and bipartisanly by wide margins. So in 2006, they extended it, and they did it again in 2011. So we should be a little over our anger. We can't use our anger, and we shouldn't. Do you really feel scared these days about terror attacks? I don't believe. It's hard for me to believe that people are so fearful.
I don't.
To the point where they would give up their civil liberties to this extent and just be okay with the government doing it. I'm not. I just don't care.
Well, I'm not either, Dan, but I don't think you need to confuse whether or not I believe terrorism is a threat and whether or not I think we should just throw the Constitution under the bus. I actually think that there's a place in the middle between those two. So does Ron Paul, so does whoever, and it just doesn't happen to involve the Patriot Act. It involves...
So does Ron Wyden, and yeah, so does, you know, Senator
right.
Ron Wyden from Oregon, and you know, we've got lots of people who think we can do both. We can have both security and freedom, and we don't have to sacrifice one for the other.
Right.
I don't know about that.
Well, the FISA court was a fine thing. It was a secret court, but it basically said, hey, we have reason to believe that we need more information. We need more intel. And if it were ever used, remember, it was never used during the Bush administration. Never. And they didn't even bother to go back after they did something and got the retroactive permission that they had been granted. And so, but what I really want to know from you, Dan, is what do you think about all these people that are coming out and having the nerve to say, I had no idea what they could do. I didn't understand the briefings. I mean, what is that?
That's obviously ridiculous. And, I mean, and you know, we saw a lot of that, just talking about the voting on... the vote on to go to war with Iraq. How many people voted for that and then turned around 2 or 3 years later when politically it was a bad thing that they were stuck in and then flip-flopped and then said, oh, well, I was wrong or I didn't really mean it. Or I mean, you know, the politicians do that all the time. It's like, you know, they stick their heads. Imagine what I'm doing, right? I'm licking my finger. I'm holding it up. Hey, which way is the wind blowing today? Okay, that's the position I'm taking. I mean, it's disgusting.
Right. Although
to
I
mean,
do remember,
is the answer to your
I
question, but it's not it's not unheard of.
Well, I also remember, you probably do too, that when the initial vote for Iraq, the war in Iraq happened, it was supposedly the pre-UN meeting vote, and that it would come back to Congress after the UN for a confirming vote or a final vote or whatever it was. I remember that there was supposed to be two steps to this, and one was just to show support when Colin Powell went to the UN. But they never came back a second time. They'd actually given permission. Now, was this a matter of not having read what they voted for? Maybe they're too busy at those cocktail parties. I do recall that there was supposed to be a second vote, and it didn't happen. So I think some people were hoodwinked. Others were just naive. Yeah? It makes sense to me. And then the other piece of all this is crazy-making is that we don't know. And I don't know if we should know, maybe you're the person to ask, how this law is currently being conducted. We have leaks about surveillance. I got that. And I think that the fact that there's legal action being taken against that, I mean, you know, I'm talking telephone surveillance and cell phone and internet theft. Electronic, there you go, that's the word I'm looking for. But we know we found Osama bin Laden. We know that there have been at least a half a dozen thwarted attacks that we know about. So where is that middle ground? And maybe I need to bring one more person into this conversation who's got their hand up now. I'm going to open the phone lines to 707. And, Bobby, I'll open you in a minute. Why don't you drop your hand and raise your hand again when you have something to say, because you had a lot of background noise. All right, so I think I'm talking to Linda. Welcome to Lunch with Loudon.
Hi. Yeah, you are.
Welcome. I bet you have an opinion here.
Oh, of course I do. Well, I posted a link on the page in the Coffee Party website, and I also sent it in email because I was having trouble with my phone. But when Jack had started off the conversation with Snowden being a traitor, I had to right away find the article that I had just read, because he, in my opinion, is not a traitor. He was more selective in the information that he released than Bradley Manning did. And he's sitting, I guess, in Hong Kong right now, wondering whether the government's coming after him. So that's kind of why a lot of this is coming out right now. I do think a lot of this is smoke and mirrors other times, but this particular case I think is due to a lot of the things that he's just released. What were you just saying? Oh, I was going to say that as far as the Patriot Act, you know, I didn't like it in the first place. But once you give away power to, you know, to an entity, it's hard to get that back. You know, they've got it now, and that's and I know it's been by they've reauthorized it. What did they say? 2-3 times now, and. It's kind of like ingrained. It's like an incumbent. It's really hard to get them out once it's become law.
And well, Linda, isn't that
that Orwellian in the first place?
Isn't that that Orwellian truth that Jack was talking about earlier when he basically said, it's like, okay, the Patriot Act. Here we go. And indeed, when you've had a teenager knows what it's like if you give more approval, if you prematurely give approval or rights or whatever to a kid, and then say, "Oh, you broke that rule." You're, you know, reeling you back in. Or, I mean, it's kind of crazy human nature to sort of grab the bit and run. You know, once you've gotten,
yeah.
And so there's so much caution required in granting privileges, because these are not rights; these are privileges that are being taken at the expense of right to privacy. So. I think it's interesting.
I think it's
interesting what you just said.
Well, it all goes back to education to me. It all goes back to teaching people what the Constitution is and how important these things are. You know, we used to get civics. I'm showing my age, but we used to be taught civics and sociology.
I remember that.
And the one teaches you the government, and the other teaches you societies, different societies and cultures. And it gives you perspective. And I really think we're missing that.
I agree with you that perspective is what's missing. And when you elect people to go to Congress, you elect them to carry forth a particular set of values and then to exercise judgment and to have that all informed by what you just called perspective, right? And when they're saying, "I didn't know," and when they voted for it 3 times or however many times,
yeah,
when they
right.
attended briefings and they don't know. Anyway, so what would you suggest we do? I've already mentioned that the ACLU is doing a lawsuit that, you know, we need to encourage the groups that we participate in to consider a friend of the court submitting a friend of the court statement, or, you know, who might have standing is the term I'm looking for. So what do you think we should do?
Well, I think that's a good idea. The courts, unfortunately, I don't have a lot of faith in them right now. I don't really know. I don't have an answer to that.
Just to keep
finding organizations, like you say, that will beat the drum, that people have to wake up, you know, we're trying to get people to wake up somehow.
Well, and to act effectively. I mean, I think that we've shown time and time again, there's a lot of people thinking something needs to be done. But to what is effective action? So I'm going to go to Dan, then Joe, then to Bobby, then to Jack, and ask them the same question. Thanks for calling in, Linda. So, Dan, what should we do?
We should encourage our legislators to repeal all of it. Get rid of the Patriot Act. Get rid of FISA. Get rid of NDAA. They all needs to go. That's my new bumper sticker phrase is, "I'd rather live in fear of my enemies than of my government."
Yeah. I heard that on your show Monday night. And, you know, I thought about that a lot because, you know, I'm way more afraid of Monsanto than I am Barack Obama. And so I don't know what I think of that. I'll have to think on that one.
I think that's it. Remember, you wouldn't be scared of Monsanto if your government didn't let let them act the way they act. So government is the ultimate enabler.
Right, right. So you're at least, yeah, I'd rather be disappointed in my enemies than disappointed in my government. I like your idea. Joe, I'm going to move to you next. What do you think we should do? Are you there?
Oh, yeah, Janine, I'm here. I learned, following my information, that the people doing the parks, it's clear they're not getting phones. These systems, okay, if they're going to roll our holes and they can't do it.
For some reason, you're breaking up, Joe. I'll tell you what. I'm going to move to Bobby, and I'll come back to you, and maybe whatever your phone issue is, you can check that out. I'll be right back. So, Bobby, what do you think we should do?
I think that we need to break the stranglehold of the two-party system and open it up to ethics and no money in politics, and I think that we need to remove corporate personhood. And once we do that, we will be able to hold our elected officials accountable based upon our voting power. And then we can make sure that they do not enact laws that erode our, well, compromise the rights that this country is founded on. Otherwise, they might as well rewrite the Constitution, because that's exactly what they're doing. And I'm tired of it. And the two-party no party, no aisle situation is what's killing us. And I'm involved in the United We Stand Fest, which is in October now, and that is the theme of the event, to break the stranglehold on the two-party system and open it up and get rid of the money in politics, which we all want, as you know, as you lead, and remove corporate personhood, and then it'll be all about the people of this country controlling what our elected officials do by the power of their vote.
Well, excellent. That falls totally under the umbrella of our current campaign, which is free the elected from the tyranny of money and politics. So,
yes, indeed.
Great. Well, thanks. I'm going to move to Jack. Jack, in 30 seconds or less, what should we do?
Okay. New in 30 seconds or less, I think I'm attracted to no labels. I think part of the problem is talking about conservative, which is not really conservative, it's reactionary, and liberal, or progressive. I think we should get some sense in there, just go for legislation, and don't give a damn about whether it appeals to conservatives or appeals to progressives, and go for that. Of course, everybody wants money. That's the problem. Everybody wants money, and I don't have money. And I'm glad I'm talking a coffee party with. I'm not a free, and I would say a freeloader, but that's the way I feel. No labels.
Well, thanks.
No two-party system.
Excellent. Thanks, Jack. Okay, so I'm going to take our last minute, unless Debbie Lynn, you have something to say before I close.
I have just been having a great time listening to everybody today and love all the participation. So thanks for everybody for calling in.
Right. I so agree. You guys, you helped me. I'm over my anger about this, and I'm ready to move on with constructive action, and that's what I was hoping I'd accomplish today. So listen, if you've enjoyed this show or any other Coffee Party Talk, Blog Talk Radio show, I'm going to remind you when they happen. Mondays at 6 p.m. Pacific, Dan Aronson, who is on our call today, is host for Press One for Democracy. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, conservative Michael Charney and progressive Eric Beiler host The Middle Ground. Thursdays, of course, Lunch with Loudon. Noon Pacific, it's Coffee Break with Loudon if you're on the East Coast. Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, America Lives, Politics Done Right. Coffee Party USA is a grassroots organization funded totally by our members. Citizens United has not benefited us. If you like the show or anything you see Coffee Party doing these days, like free the elected from the tyranny of money in politics. Become a member by going to www.coffeepartyusa.com. Find that member button. Find that donate button. Find your way in. And if you'd like to volunteer, all the better. You can find that button, too. Thanks, everybody. You've made my day. Coffee Party on.